every now and then, you have an opportunity. I don't know. Every now and then, I do. I mean, I regularly have opportunities, but occasionally you have an opportunity to be really, really proud of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus is someone we can be proud of, but there are times when the Lord does things by His grace that just make you really proud of the God you serve. And there are occasions when it spills over onto His people. You're just proud of His people. And I have spent the entire week being proud of the Lord and proud of those of you who were here with us last Sunday and the way you responded to the grace of God given to us. I believe that the Lord was demonstrating to us an aspect of the character that He's built into this congregation. And I have just, I don't think a day has gone by that I haven't several times just told the Lord how proud of Him I am and how proud I am of the people that He's drawn together in this house. So I just invite you to give the Lord a big old thank you. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Some days you have an opportunity to see that the Father's really been at work in our hearts and our lives. Don't you think great? Don't you love pop quizzes? Don't you love it when you pass a pop quiz? That's what I meant to say. Yes, and the ones God gives us are always open to book tests. Walter, are you listening on the radio? You're picking up this frequency? You're on this frequency right here? So you're listening to the ball game. I understand. I missed you while you were gone, Walter. We got a real treat this morning. There are wonderful men and women of excellence in the kingdom of God. Really fabulous, fabulous people. But the Lord seems to have ordained things in such a way that we get exposed to the cream of the crop of the excellence of God in His kingdom. And I'm really tickled at how the Lord does that for us. And this morning, we have with us the pastor of Glory Tabernacle in Washington, D.C., Pastor Dennis Passante, who's become a good friend, a highly respected man of God throughout the region and in many parts of the world, as the Lord has used him phenomenally in ministry. And he's been delighted to come and spend the weekend with us. We had some time with our prophetic folks and intercessors yesterday afternoon, with our church ministry team leaders last night. He's here to minister the word of the Lord to us this Sunday morning. So would you stand and give a warm welcome to Pastor Dennis Passante.
Well, we bring greetings. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. We just bring greetings from Washington, D.C., and we're pretty excited to be here. I was telling the leadership last night that my wife and I really love your pastor's wife. We were checking the pastor out, though, and we come to find out he's a good guy. How many believe that? And found out something else, that we went in the Navy at the same time back in back then. And we spent time in San Diego together. We didn't know each other back then. And but we're really excited to be here. Speaking about accolades, when I came to the area, I asked around who the various pastor leaders were in the region and fathers in the faith. And one of the first that I heard about was Pastor Lanny Clark. Now, many of you know him as Pastor. Some of you as Lanny. But we know him in our neck of the woods as a man of God that many people esteem for just being a man of God in this whole region. And I realize that cities are pretty connected in this region, and that's what we call it as a region. And as well as being on various leadership things around the area, he's also just a kind of like a beacon in this neck of the woods that maybe you might not know about, but we know about in our circles. So it's certainly a privilege to be here and see so many lovely folks. We had a wonderful time yesterday. Going to have a good time today, but we want to break just a little bit of the bluesy feeling with the rain coming down and all that. We want the sunshine a little bit more, so let's just get a little bit freer. Hallelujah. God wants to do some more this morning. Amen. I'm expecting you to get out of your wheelchair and a whole bunch of things to happen there and see you doing a wheelie on that thing back there. And we're just going to have a good time. And if you want to let that anointing get from your hands down in your feet, there's really no difference what lens that you clap. Amen. So let's rejoice in God and let's let him do what he wants to do.
Glory, dance, children, dance now. Before the Lord, praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Sing hallelujah! Hallelujah! Sing hallelujah! Hallelujah! Sing hallelujah to the Lord, to the Lord. Hallelujah! Sing hallelujah! Hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, sing hallelujah to the Lord. Dance, children, dance now, before the Lord, lift up your hands, give him the glory. Dance, children, dance now, before the Lord, praise you.
Again, dance!
Dance, children, dance now, before the Lord, lift up your hands. Give him the glory, dance, children, dance. Before the Lord, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Sing hallelujah to the Lord. To the Lord, hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, sing hallelujah, like the Lord. There is no one who is like the Lord. He is strong and mighty. Who is like the Lord? He is worthy. Stand up and give him the praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is worthy of glory.
Thank you.
On the rising of the sun, who is showing God, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Who is like the Lord? There is no one who is like the Lord. He is strong and mighty. Who is like the Lord? He is worthy. Stand up and give him the praise. Lord, praise the Lord. Our God is worthy of glory. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Our God is worthy to praise. Who is like the Lord? Who is like the Lord? There is no one who is like the Lord. He is strong and mighty. Who is like the Lord? He is worthy. Stand up and give him the praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is worthy of glory. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Come on, everybody.
Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory.
Tell your neighbor now. Look to your neighbor and tell him that.
Stand up and praise him and give him the glory.
Come on, young people, stand up. Hallelujah.
Give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory.
One more time.
Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Stand up and praise him and give him the glory. Our God is worthy of praise.
Hallelujah!
Who is like the Lord?
Yeah!
Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Lord!
Thank you, Father! You're worthy of praise.
Somebody praise him.
You're great. There's no one like you.
Somebody praise God. Turn to your neighbor and look right in their eyes. Just say, if you don't praise him, the rocks will. And there's a song, ain't no rock gonna praise him like I can praise him. Praise God. Oh, there we go. We got the motor revved up here just a little bit more. Hallelujah. How many are excited that you'd rather be here than the best hospital in the world? Hallelujah. Sometime or another, y'all ought to come up here while the song service is going on and see everybody's faces as the praise leaders are just trying to get everybody to get onto the same level. Hallelujah. I can get away with things like that because I pastor too, and we just have fun. Hallelujah. You got to see in D.C., sometimes we got those old stuffy folks from on top of the hill, but by the time God's through, they're just shouting and having a good time. Amen? We better get in practice. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. This isn't Assemblies of God Church, right? Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. I grew up as a youth pastor in Assemblies of God Church, and I remember when I walked in, I was tired of everything. I was back in the early 70s. Just got out of the Navy. I was searching. Anybody was searching back then? That's what we were doing. We were searching to find ourselves. People were traveling all over the world. I did it for free with the Navy, but so we tried a bunch of things, and I had just about all I can stand with church. So at a young age, I just stopped going because it was so dead and boring that either the pastor would yell at me for us guys cutting up in the front over here, or my dad would just over and pinch me and take a piece of my flesh and turn it for me to be quiet. That was my extent of church. And finally, we played music back then, and finally somebody bold enough, daring enough, and non-religious enough approached me about being saved. And I thought that there was a car accident and her kids got saved. She was Assemblies of God Church, Endicott Assemblies of God. She just went through the plan of salvation. And I said, "What's that?" So she began to explain to me, and that really wasn't on my mind. A couple days later, quite honestly, she asked me on a date, and I was thinking, this was in 1975, and I was thinking, "Oh wow, I mean, nobody's asking me. I mean, I'm not asking anybody, and she's asking me." And so, being a musician back then and all the trappings that go with that, I was thinking, wow, this is okay. We went out on a date, and I don't know why I'm telling this, but it's for somebody. I realize these little bunny trails are always for somebody. We went out at night, and back then they had lover's lanes. Well, we went to a dinner and a movie, and then, being a man of the world, we went to Lover's Lane. It was on top of a hill. It was called Round Top. So it was dark. I turned the music on, and the mood was there, so I could smooch her. I made my move, and she made her move. And she turned around, and she started to unload the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel on me. It scared the fire right out of me. I'm telling you what. Woo! Glory! I told her, "I have a headache, honey. Let's go home." I couldn't get that out of my mind. And she wasn't just, you know, a casual reader. She taught on the book of Revelation and Daniel and Ezekiel, and it literally scared the hell out of me. I wasn't swearing, it's just a place, okay. That Thursday, she says, "Can I come down to your studio and just share a little bit?" And cautiously, I said, "Well, okay, well, two of our singers are going to be there, so it's going to be all right. She can't corner me." So what she did, though, is she walked down. We were just done practicing. She had a Bible under one hand, under one arm, and an album. Kids, we had albums back there, the big ones like this. And I didn't know. I figured, oh, here we go, bringing in the sheath, that old church music stuff, which had no appeal to musicians back then. And all of a sudden, she starts to talk, and we were reading the book, The Vision, by David Wilkerson. Many of you are familiar with that. And it was end time events, so who to bring in? But a teacher of end time events. And we were sitting there getting scared. It's like today, the headline news. People get scared of our headline news. You never know that they know God, and we win at the end of the book. And so all of a sudden, I began to listen to the music that she was playing. And I heard, "Jesus is the answer for the world today.
like him, there's no other. Andre Crouch live. And I said, whoa, this isn't bringing in the sheep stuff. I've got a mansion. I didn't hear any of that. I heard, in our terminology, I heard some hip music. Some good musicians. And I'm listening to one ear, and I'm just going with the other ear, or the other foot, and just it got in me. And all of a sudden, something happened. I didn't have the verbiage to describe it back then. Here we are in our music studio, instruments all over the place, probably in the ashtray. There was probably some drugs in there. That's what we did, BC. We were led by our, before Christ. That's what we did. We were led by our desires and the lusts of our heart. And we followed our father, Satan. All of a sudden, she's talking. And God cheated on us. And all of a sudden, he went from Jesus as the answer to, hallelujah, hallelujah. And something came into place. It was like I couldn't describe it back then, but it was so heavy that it drove us down to our knees. The kabod, the weightiness of the glory of God, fell in the room, and she turned into Peter or Paul or somebody. Fire in her eyes, and she said, get on your knees. It's time to give your hearts to God. Well, she was a little late on that because we were already hit to dirt. Both singers and myself weeping our way uncontrollably, weeping our way unto salvation, giving our heart to God. And tell you the truth, that was around June 1975, and it seems to get better and better and better every day. I don't regret it one second. And I'm trying to figure out how I got over there. Anybody remember how I started getting on my testimony? But it was good. It must have been about music or something. Because that music literally brought the glory of God into that place of hell and drove it out of every one of us. Music has a very profound effect on what we do. It bridges the gap. So I want to challenge you, when it's time to worship and it's time to unload unto God, if you understand the principles of sowing and receiving, if we sow unto the heavens, heavens will sow down in us. I remember I used to preach a lot of revivals down south. And I'm telling you, all kinds. And then I'd preach them out in the mountains of Tennessee. And so often people were waiting for God to hit them. I'm saying, what do you want God to hit you for? Oh, so I can praise God. I said, well, you're a free moral agent. If you'll learn the secret to minister to him, he will minister to you. And I said, stop looking for heaven to rain down upon you. Why don't you start sowing to the heavens? And why don't you start ministering to him? And all of a sudden, we saw whole churches change, whole praise teams change, as God would come in the house. You know you can do that in your car. You can do that in your office. You can do it in your home. So I want to challenge you, which has totally nothing to do with my message here, but it's just something that I just felt to share with you, and I'm sure I know you have great teaching, but there's sometimes when another preacher comes in and says the same thing that your pastor does, it just sounds different. But I want to challenge you, especially in days like this where it's raining, the best way to jump out of that thing is first jump into praise and break that old thing and then just move right into worship. One of the greatest teachers that taught me, she said, praise until the spirit of worship comes. Worship until the glory comes, and then stand in his glory. That was Ruth Heflin. So I want to challenge you on that, especially when you look at the headline news today.
if you don't have any praise on your lips, you'd be just like everybody else. All those other false prophets on NBC and CBS and with a gloomy story. You've been put in the earth to make a difference. I said, you've been put on earth to make a difference. Not to be like everybody else and be down and out and out and down. Hallelujah. In the midst of everybody being down and shaky economy and not knowing what's going on with this and that and the terrorists and the war, we can still have a shout on our lips and we can be happy. Kids, you can be happy. Do you know that? I'm kind of partial to young people. We got a lot of young people in our church on fire for God. And I just want to say, you're not the leaders of tomorrow. You're the leaders of your generation today. And I'd like to declare to us a little older than young people, there's change on the horizon. How many believe that? I declared it yesterday, and it's just something I've been declaring all along and finding out the prophets are prophesying this, that change is on the horizon. And I found out when I declared that and started declaring that to my people that some people don't like change. Who here likes change? And I'm putting you in a kind of predicament because if you don't raise your hand, people are going to say, oh my gosh, they don't like change. Don't raise your hand at all. Don't raise your hand. Who does not like change? Don't raise your hand. Because that's about 75% of us. And I know that the Lord says, I changeth not us. But his methods and his modes change as we progress. How many know we're not living in the 20th century anymore? Anybody here living in the 20th century? You better get yourself out of there. We're in the 21st century. And because of that, there's an umbilical cord that us Christians so many times have to our past. There's a secret in that. As we allow God to cut, as we yield that umbilical cord to our past, allow that thing to be cut off, it will catapult us into the future. Many times we want something, all of a sudden, whoa! That our past and our hurts and all of that, and even our religious experiences, just pull us back and we can't launch in. God will cut it, but we've got to present that to him and leave it there. Do you know many of our churches today, they're living in the 20th century? They, and this is, I'm not being critical, but I always like to bring people up to date to where we're at now. And God's allowed me to travel to do that and to see and to experience. Do you know that in our country right now, the average church is at about 75 people all across the board in our country right now? At the same time, do you know while Hinduism is on the rise, Buddhism is on the rise. Islam in this country is on the rise 247%. Well, Christianity is only on the rise 14% or so. Do you know that as you sit right now, where we're at in time, we are at an all-time low in the last 30 years of church attendance. And God's trying to get all of our attentions, starting with us pastors and leaders, that change has to come if we are to move into what God has for us. That doesn't mean just the pastor. That means y'all, too. Is that how you say it around here, y'all? You're like DC. I mean, everybody's from everywhere around here. So our young people don't have a problem with change. They can just flow into change as quickly as you can blink your eye. It's us folks that are a little older because we just like it like grandma had it. And we like it like grandpa had it. And we don't want to change. All of us. But God is doing something because he's going to have what he wants to have. Or folks, he'll bypass us and he'll move on to another generation. Now, what I'm saying is, I love Smith Wigglesworth and great, great books like that. I grew up on things like that. I sat at the feet of great men and women of God that had wounds, spiritual wounds, but came up victorious in battles. And I literally fasted and sat at their feet for hours and days. And I heard all those stories, and I thank God for that pioneering spirit that they had. I thank God how they broke open areas in this Potomac district in the Assemblies of God. The things that were broken open by men in God who were totally sold out for God. But folks, that was, we is, and there's going to be. When you look at a building, and you're looking at that ground level, you really don't know if there's any levels underneath it, like in Washington, D.C. Sometimes they're deep as they are tall. But no, what you're seeing is the present. They, those pioneers that went before us, they dug the foundations to what we stand on today. But folks, if we only settle on what we stand on today, what are we going to hand our people? What are we going to hand our youth? And so I want to bring a challenge on change. And this kind of change is going to stir our hearts. Can I get down here, Pastor? Okay. I'm just going to be down home. Like, this is my church too, so. I love to talk about the Eagles. If you go in my office, I've got Eagles there because it so depicts our life. It so depicts not the kind with the claws coming out, but the kind that have extended arms or legs, extended wings that soar, because it also depicts our life. The scripture says in Ephesians 2 that we have been made to sit upon the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We have been made. Tell your neighbor, we've been made to sit in heavenly places. We've not been made as turkeys to be in the chicken coop, or chickens to be in the chicken coop, scratching and pecking. We've been made to soar on the wings. We've been made to soar on the breath of God. We've been made to soar in the high places, not scratching and pecking for a piece of corn. But folks, eagles, they carefully choose their food on the ground. God gifted them with eyes over 2 miles that they can see a little mouse on the ground from over 2 miles high. That's what we're made like. When they build the nest, they find a place generally above 6,000 feet. Why? That's the snake line. Snakes don't go any higher than 6,000 feet, so they say. And in that, they will build. They will build. They will start with a foundation of large. They've got large talons. Their wings span over 10 feet. Large talons that they can pick up logs. They will start with the logs and bring smaller branches in. And then they'll put the couch and the chair. They'll just kill, you know, they'll have rabbit and fox and whatever. And just have a fur-lined, very comfortable living room, bedroom for the kids. The eaglets are born. Eaglets, they have food handed to them all the time. It's just wonderful, just kind of laid back, you know, just sit back in the shade drinking lemonade kind of thing. They don't have to do anything except receive. You know, that's kind of like the church. If we choose to, we don't have to do anything. Just come to church and just receive, and that's it. All of a sudden, Mom gets that look in her eye. Now, I don't know about your wife, but there's times when I come home and the furniture's totally rearranged. I stub my toe or something, you know. Helen Keller's nightmare that they changed the furniture. You guys will get it. And she'll get this wild look in her eye. And the kids never seen that look before. And all of a sudden, Mom starts cleaning the house and goes crazy. She starts throwing out the couches and the chairs. She starts throwing out all the comfortability of the fur. And just throwing it over the side, going down 6,000 feet. And all of a sudden, those little eagles are totally in shock. They don't understand what's going on. They no longer can lay back and be comfortable. Now they've got all these little sticks poking at them. And they can no longer lay back and relax. Now they got a perch on a little branch. Picture this in your mind's eye. Why? Because it was time for change. Do you know God's trying to get the attention of the church today? Something very interesting is beginning to happen. That people are starting to say that the church is irrelevant today. It's not the main motivating force that it used to be. You can tell by church attendance is dropping. Maybe, you know, not here, not our church, and those churches that are really contending. 4,000 churches a year shut their doors. Over 4,000. And God's going to say, it's time for change. These poor little eaglets are starting to lose their comfortability. Now they got sticks poking at them. And then, Mama gets that wild look in her eye again. And now these guys are going, oh no, here we go again. Mama gets on the edge of the nest looking towards the little eaglets. And begins to flap those massive wings. And they're thinking, she's lost it. She's flapping those wings. And all of a sudden, when that wind hits those little things hanging down from their shoulders, they realize that these things have worth. Their wings. She'd flap those things again, and all of a sudden, the eaglets would just begin to move those things. Mom knows best. Well, thinking that's it. You know, Mom, she's coming back to normal now, but she does one other thing now. She jumps in the nest and begins to nudge the eaglets right to the corner of the nest. And now they're looking down. You're probably wondering where Papa is. He's there. Mother Eaglet is like the Holy Spirit. Father is watching. The Holy Spirit was given not just to comfort us, but to prod us, to make us ready without a spot, a church without spot and wrinkle and blemish. And the Holy Spirit is speaking in the earth today. It's time. It's time for a new season. All of a sudden, there's Mama nudging again and nudging again. And finally, she nudges and then she leaps out herself to give an example how it's done. And one of those little eaglets basically says, I can do that, jumps out, starts flapping those little wings real quick. And realize this is the first time I ever did this. I'm a little bit nervous on this. And what if I fall? And looks straight ahead at Mama. As long as she sees Mama, they go. And all of a sudden, look down. All of a sudden, out of the heavens, here comes Daddy. Swoops down before that little one hits the ground and on his wings. Can you think of a scripture in Isaiah? Brings that little one right back up on the wings of eagles. And guess where Daddy goes? Drops him off right at the edge of the nest again. Change. They get feisty, and one takes off again, begins to fall. There's Daddy. Whew. Catch him on wings and bring him right back up. Lift him back up into the high places. And what happens is they learned. And the fear is gone. Now, the process, many times you and I don't understand the process. That doesn't look like progress all the time. But Mama knows best. The Holy Ghost knows best. You see, when the comfortability was taken out, and incidentally, revival, the move of God, miracles, never comes out of our comfortability. Many times it comes out of our desperation. That's when the gift of faith is activated greatly. Something very interesting that the Holy Ghost or Mama knows, and they didn't know, the Holy Ghost knows today, but we don't know, is when the comfortability was taken out, they had to learn how to stand. Because when they flew somewhere, they had to learn how to stand before they learned how to fly. Because when they got there, they had the ability now to stand firm. That's what God's putting into us today. He's teaching us how to stand in times of adversity. He's teaching us how to stand in times of happiness and joy. He's teaching us how to stand even in times of tragedy. Even in times of headline news that don't look favorable, that doesn't look favorable. He's teaching us how to stand. Why? Because he has need of us. He has need of this church. He has need of Glory Tabernacle in Washington, D.C. He has need of those front-runner churches that would just as soon start fasting and praying and getting on their face before God, worshiping God, healing the sick, cleansing the leper, raise the dead. He has need of churches that would take a bold stand like that. Because, folks, the majority today and in this country, they don't move in that, and I think it was done away with the apostles. So he's looking at people like you. And guess what? I started to read Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And us pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists, we're to train you to do it. You to do it and not us. We will flow in that. But it's to multiply all of this in the body of Christ. Cool. And what does it say? He's given us for the perfecting of the saints, the training and the equipping of the saints under the work of ministering and under the building up of the body of Christ. That's your job. Ours is to train you and release you, and yours is to do the works of God. Just nudge your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Well, I'm too old to do this. Well, Methuselah was old too, only 940 some years old, but he walked with God. Abraham wasn't a spring chicken, but he did the works of God. And I want to challenge you, young people. It was Samson that brought the move of God to that Colosseum. It was Samson that led the move of God. Samson led it to those pillars and destroyed the yoke of the enemy. And it's going to be your generation, not our generation, because my generation can't reach your generation with the Doobie Brothers and the Grand Funk and groups like that. But your generation can reach them with the kind of music you like. I never thought I would get to the place as a musician that I would sound like my dad. Oh, glory to God. My wife said, you sound just like your dad. I said, what? You said the same thing. I don't understand the music today. I mean, literally, I don't understand. It's almost like a message in tongues or something. But it's your generation, not my generation, is going to lead your generation into the things of God. And we affirm that as leaders and as folks older than you. We affirm your ministry in the body of Christ right now. Not in the future, but right now. Let me move on. Hallelujah. That's all right. Go ahead. I'm going to preach something that's bigger than you and me. It's actually not about you and me. It's about him and it's about them out there. I continually, all day yesterday, talked about a church without walls. I'm going to challenge you again, folks. As I've traveled and as we see and as we hear and we listen, there's one thing that's very important for you to understand, that America right now is spiritually hungry. And if they don't find it in the church, they're going to find it somewhere. They're going to find it somewhere. Right now at GW, we have a college ministry, George Washington University, right downtown D.C. It's like an Ivy League school. Right now we've got a ministry there, like Campus Crusade. It's called The Rock. We've got about 30, 40 students that go there. They're not like Campus Crusade because they speak in tongues. They pray for the sick. People get healed. They just do it. They just do it how they've been called to do it. They were telling me that Buddhism, people are turning to Buddhism by the droves. They're saying that Islam is having evangelistic meetings there. Everybody is recruiting that spirituality inside people that they've got to find in the church and nowhere else. Folks, let's not stay in the barracks as men and women of God, as the army of God, but let's find ourselves out there bringing the people in to where they need to go. John 4:39. I'm just going to, for the sake of time, this is where Jesus meets the woman at the well. If we begin to understand something here, it was a new season. Christ was showing us a new example. And the fact of the matter is, Samaria was kind of on the way to go to Jerusalem from Capernaum, where the religious section was, the churches were. But they would avoid, all the rabbis, the people would avoid and go around Samaria. Why? Because they classified them as dogs. Jesus broke ranks of that religious spirit. And he said, I have need to go to Samaria. I need to go where the people are at. Folks, he went to the well. Do you know how unheard of for just a man alone to go to the well? That's where you picked up women. It's like going to the local bar looking for a woman. Let alone a rabbi. I mean, it was, he just broke every rule in the book, folks. He wasn't looking for a woman. He was looking for somebody who was pregnant with revival for her city. And he began to talk to her. Do you know it was forbidden for rabbis to talk to women? Not even his wife out in public? His daughters? And then he stayed there for 2.5 days. That is so totally forbidden for a rabbi to do that. He broke every religious rule concerning rabbis. But he was compelled to be there. He was stepping out of the unordinary. Why? Because he knew that there was somebody that was pregnant in her womb, her spiritual womb for revival for her city. And the status quo of what is supposed to be done and how politically, spiritually correct things are. He stomped all over that thing. He went to Samaria, helped give birth to that move of God in Samaria. Revival broke out because Jesus decided to get out and to break the comfort zone, to break the ordinary. He began to step into a new season. And revival broke out. Something happened. So excited about that. He moved into his assignment. Every one of you have an assignment, people. I'm speaking to you pastorally now. Everyone, and one of the themes of our church is every person has a gift that's directly linked to a people or people that have need of that gifting inside of you. All people ministry in our church. I believe that. I believe that 100%. That every one of you, I can't reach the young people like every single one of you young people can. You talk the language. You look the part. You are. I can bring some counsel and some advice and whatever, but you're peers to those people. You could reach them. Every one of you is on assignment in your school. Every one of you are assignment on your job. Guess what your assignment not is? Just to breathe. Well, that was went over like a lead balloon. Let me get back on this thing here. I'll touch on that again. We touched yesterday.